This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
7 minutes after 11. Later on, we are taking your calls. 0861-987-000. Send your tweets. We'll acknowledge all of them during the open line at Tabiso with an extra O or at Power FM 987. As I said before we went to news, that we'll be focusing on Ethiopia because there is a problem in Ethiopia. The Tigray People's Liberation Front is waging a war which seems to have rubbed off the Ethiopian government the wrong way. They have put up an ultimatum of 72 hours, which kicked off on Sunday, for them to surrender themselves or face the full might of the military. So we had a chat with Professor Mamu Muche, and I started off by asking him to give us a background in terms of what the heck is going on there.
One of the things we must remember about Ethiopia is that it is the only African country that has not been colonized. So from my understanding, from a pan-African perspective, a country like Ethiopia, if it develops and it becomes successful, it becomes another example. You see, when it was not colonized, a lot of our people here in Southern Africa, in America, they created what they call the Ethiopian Manifesto. 1829, Ethiopian Manifesto, for the entire African people being free, for freedom and liberty, an example for liberty. They used the name Ethiopia with a manifesto. The same thing after the victory of Adwa in 1896, 5 months later, here in Southern Africa, in South Africa here, they created the second Ethiopian Manifesto. What you're thinking is that the liberation imagination of our people has been described and explained with the name Ethiopia. Can you imagine? Because it was like that, the colonial powers were very much against Ethiopia because they try to really use everything, you not believe. If you see, for example, the way they try to control the Nile River, 86% of the water comes from the Nile, from Ethiopia. But in the British, the French, the Italians, all of them were involved. They had made 12 treaties every time they attacked Ethiopia. That's what they were doing. So what you can see is that they really didn't want Ethiopia to rise. If it does, it means it is an example. A non-colonized African country developing means is a problem. So always where it is under target. Now, it's extremists are against it. They are fighting Ethiopia, and they are uniting to fight it. No, seriously. And many, many strange things are happening because of this. So that is the main, and the background side, it is this idea of that this country has not been colonized. And this was also written by a book was written on it by an Italian in 1934. His name is Baron Roman Paracelsa, and the book's name is called Abyssinia, the Powder Barrel, the most pressing question of the time, he says, in 1934. He simply says, if we do not divide Ethiopia, and we must divide it by creating what these people now, the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front, have copied. And trust me, a lot of the people who are now leading the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front are not even good for the good patriotic Tigrayans who fought and struggled very much and died for the independence of Ethiopia. Some of them were their fathers. Is even the father of Meles Zenawi was also working. He was called Askari, meaning he was fighting with the Italians against Ethiopia. And these people, therefore, what they did, they copied exactly what Mussolini did to Ethiopia. When he came to Ethiopia, he created, on ethnic basis, 7 regional regions. He created regional administrations. That's what he did. So, and then when these people came, they formed an ethnic division exactly like, almost a carbon copy of the Italian version. And you know what they did? They created 9 ethnic administrations again. This is dangerous, sincerely. When you see the South Africa, can you imagine? You went through very difficult time, apartheid and many things. The injustice was severe. You know the preamble of the Constitution, how it starts in South Africa? I'm so proud of it. You know what it says? We, the people of South Africa. And then they say the injustice that we face all the time, all this apartheid, to overcome it, we unite. In other words, you want to become one people and fight it. That's what you wanted to say. Isn't that nice?
Beautiful.
But you know, in Ethiopia, the country that has been never colonized, what did they do? They divided it. Without the ethnic division, almost like the apartheid time. It's a dangerous thing that they did to us. And exactly that is what's now happening. They want to continue it. And I think the central government wants to, I think, from what I see from the beginning when the prime minister came, he spoke on Ethiopia, to unite Ethiopia. So maybe the reason why they didn't agree with him and start fighting him for the last 2.5 years is because he stands for the unity of Ethiopia and hopefully also for really removing this ethnic constitution and creating a new constitution based on really geographic and other divisions like you have here in South Africa. So, and that's what we need to do now. And that's the background is this one. It is this background you need to appreciate.
But surely Ethiopia must have allies, even in the Western world and in Europe as well, people that are willing to say, we want to stand by you because we understand this the agenda of breaking you apart. Isn't there something of the sort that exists?
Well, it is the humanitarian crisis that emerged with the war. It eventually becomes what? A challenge. You know what Ethiopia is? Whenever there is all these refugees and migrations, the best destination for migrants across the world is they say is Ethiopia. No, seriously, we welcome people. The culture is very, very good in terms of welcoming other people. For example, now from Syria, from Yemen, from all these places, a lot of them go to Ethiopia even now. You see, there are a lot of them now. You're right. The Ethiopia should not be divided, and should not be a country where migrants go away from Ethiopia. The people migrate. It should be a country that receives migrants. It should be like that. So in that sense, Europe, you see, they are afraid always of many migrants going to them. So when Ethiopia is receiving and so on, they probably do not want Ethiopia also maybe to support it. I'm not sure about the European agenda. I'm not sure this is a Western agenda. On countries like Ethiopia, I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because they are not consistent. They may say sometimes they are maybe with you or we may not. I mean, some of them were supporting Meles Zenawi, but understandably, because he's also doing what they were doing. You see? I mean, in that sense, they could support him. But now, if you oppose them, then they may fight you.
Yeah.
That is very complicated.
Yeah.
When President Thabo Mbeki tried to Cote d'Ivoire, he wanted to do many things, the French and others were very angry with him. And they tried to, what didn't they do? They fought him, the British, all of them. Because when you are standing independent, when you show independence, they don't like it. That's what I see.
Yeah. So what are the consequences? Because, you know, people are worried now about Sudan. People are worried about Eritrea. People are worried about, the growth and the sustenance of this country called Ethiopia.
Yes. The key thing is now the situation is like this. From what I hear, that the federal government now is doing everything to control the situation in Tigray. And now they have arrived into the capital. So if they manage to control it and set up a new administration and remove the previous one and hopefully also get them to come to justice, then I think it is very likely that a new arrangement could be built where a peaceful path might be open and things might go in a good direction. But if the war continues, then you are right. Migrations will take place. Many things will happen. And the region also will be affected. At the moment, what we heard is that the TPLF leaders that are now there still, they have not yet been removed. They attacked even Asmara. They did fire rockets at Asmara Airport, and they fire rockets at Bahadar Airport and Gondar. Many places they have done. So they have these satellite things that their area is mountainous, so they may hide it into areas. So they may still have, and what they are saying is that they have accumulated a lot of weapons and a lot of rockets and many things like that. So let's hope that the federal government manages all these things. And once this is handled, then I think the risk to Sudan, the risk of with migration, the risk also to Eritrea and all other may be handled well. Otherwise, if the war continues, if it becomes a major war or civil war, then definitely you are right. It affects the entire region. Not only the entire region, it's also Africa. All of us will be affected. Because you will be affected, I will be affected, all of us will be affected. Yeah. It shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
Ordinary people should not die. For what? Why? Why they should die? For politics, colonially imported politics, imposed for divide and rule.
Yeah.
That you rejected here with apartheid. Why should we continue it in Ethiopia? Of all places, the most independent African example that has given really spiritual strength to all our people, including here in South Africa. You know, ANC, African National Congress, all of them were formed by Ethiopians. I mean, it's very, very important. And we're together. Even when the Adwa victory, Adwa battle was happening, South Africans here wanted to go and fight with Ethiopia. Sincerely, there are people who said, we also fight. I mean, so I do not. I know you all would not like this. The to make the Ethiopian state fail and to make the country disintegrate. That's not very good because it is just what disintegration of Ethiopia means is also the disintegration and the devaluation of all the spiritual strength that Ethiopia gave with all these manifestos, with all this supporting the African National Congress and everything. This old Ethiopianism, all these things that have been developed, that many people cherished and gave strength for them to liberate themselves, that will also be diminished, which is not good.
What about the economy, though? To what extent is this posing a setback? Because, as I said earlier on, the Ethiopian story was a very good story to tell in recent years. I mean, the airline industry, the economy as a whole, a young president, progressive, and all of that. To what extent does this also, you know, reduce or regresses the impact of its economy, which became a shining beacon?
Yes, you're right. Of course, there's a hindrance now to continue to develop the economy at the rates of speed that it would like it to go on. But still, it will not stop. I think the economy may be affected. It's not just affected by the current crisis. It's also affected, all economies now are affected by the COVID-19 too. So even with all the challenges, what amazes me about the Ethiopian Airlines is that we're still active. It's all over. It's the most active airlines. Mm-hmm. It's the most Pan-African airline now. So it has, I don't think, I mean, what has happened, what I heard is, remember one of the airports, Aksum, this is the ancient empire of Ethiopia, Aksum, the obelisk, many things, I heard that the airport now has been attacked by the Tigray People's Liberation Front army and militias. They actually have now ruined it. So you're right. I mean, locally inside now, it is very difficult for the Ethiopian Airlines to fly in that airport because the airport has to be now rebuilt again. So things like that are happening. But generally, I think the economy may be affected by what's going on now. But if this current dilemma is addressed and a peaceful way it comes, then the economy could revive. As you rightly put it, all the innovation side will be very, very strongly motivated, and many people will really continue to revive the economy strongly. I think something like that will happen. Now there's a setback. From the setback, we can move back to the forward movement, back to developing it in a very strong way. I think it will happen. And I think there will be no, there will be the only challenge now is this current crisis we have. And until these people are now taken to control and they should come to justice, and the meditation that our President Cyril Ramaphosa and others are recommending is good, but the TPLF didn't want to meditation. They didn't want it because when the Prime Minister wanted many times to send meditators, but they were not interested. Now they are asking the Tigrayan prisoner was asking internationally, you know, United Nations, others to join. But I think the only thing now, given what they have done, the only thing is first there should be justice. After justice, and they come to justice, then meditation should take place after that to just make sure that the whole country comes together, that everybody moves on, and then we have a new constitution. We abolish this ethnic federal constitution. President Museveni says nope, the politics of ethnic federalism is like apartheid. It must be completely, it doesn't fit Africa, he said. It's divide and rule back again. It must be removed. I hope the Ethiopian government and the Ethiopian Prime Minister, all of them listen and make sure that this constitution is changed. And they should not use ethnic-based regional systems. They should use it like we have here in South Africa, Gauteng and Eastern Cape and all this. Geography, not ethnic, no. You shouldn't call it colored. White, black, white. No, it's not good like that.
Yeah,
we should stop that.
Yeah. So, Prof, how strong is this Tigray People's Liberation Front from a resources point of view? And I ask you this because, I mean, in Mozambique, they are battling, insurgency. In Kenya, they've been dealing with Al Shabaab for quite a while. In Nigeria, mm-hmm. they've been dealing with issues like that, and even today, in countries like Nigeria, we are still hearing stories about the existence of Boko Haram and all of that. Now one wonders whether are we not going to also see a carbon copy of a prolonged battle between Abiy's military and the Tigray's People's Liberation Front.
No, I think if what we are hearing now from the federal government, what we heard is that the Tigray People's Liberation Front leaders said they are the ones that attacked the base where the federal military army was there. Mm. Then they said what they now say is that they selected ethnically those who are non-Tigrayans who are also killed. Even generals were killed and things like that. Now, when this happened, the prime minister said, you are now passing the red line, so I have to resist. And then the fighting started. Now, what the prime minister is saying is that he cannot negotiate until he makes sure that justice is now rescued. We rescue the country completely, meaning the TPLF leaders are put to justice. They will definitely be in court. And they will be the whole. If they are not killed, I mean, in this war situation, the prime minister has asked within 72 hours, he has already declared saying that, give your hands now, come. If you don't come, we'll continue to resist and fight. And then what will happen is, from what I see, is that nearly all of Tigray is now under control except the capital. And the capital, I'm told, is going to be soon. Either today or tomorrow, it will be over. Yeah. If that happens, the situation is that the TPLF will disappear. It has to.
Yeah.
And then the leadership will be taken to court. In fact, they may be, even they could go to ICC, all the humanitarian, there's a lot of humanitarian challenges that they are going to face. And we're told that over the last 27 years, many, many genocides have taken place, especially on the people called the Amhara. In their TPLF manifesto, they attack the Amhara. They say the Amharas are the people that must be destroyed. They put it in the manifesto. So they have been now doing a friend of mine has written a book in Amharic about all these massacres. He's now in exile in Finland. He wrote a book on it. And yeah, it's incredible what has been happening almost every. So all this injustice will be now. All this will come. They will be accused. And I think serious justice will take if they are held completely and put to justice. So I think the TPLF will go. And I think the military attack from their side is not going to be is going to be over. I think that's what I suggest. But as you rightly put it, the extremists and others still are always at Ethiopia is one of the countries like Mozambique and others. They targeted, and all these extremists are uniting. Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, all this, Al-Qaeda, all this are grouping themselves and trying to fight. But we must make sure also that we are, as Africans, unite and deal with them very successfully and so on. And I hope they also don't target South Africa also.
In times like these, Prof, there's always a question about the African Union. I mean, to a point where even some people have actually given up hope on the African Union. Some people even saying there is nothing that the African Union could do that would make them effective, because one of their biggest problems is where they source their funding, which the bulk of it, we are told, comes from the European Union as well. So some people are saying, you know, they can't bite the hand that feeds them. They'll always take instructions on how to approach a conflict. And if you look at the military formations of many, many, many countries, there's lack of training, there's lack of innovation, there is lack of numbers, there is lack of equipment and artillery and all of that, which also makes it quite a futile exercise if you were to put together an African Union army, because then countries like South Africa with better resources, even though their military is not that great, but comparatively speaking, much, much better, it also goes further to also pinch their resources as well. So, I mean, I'm loath to also ask you about the African Union, but I have to, because it still exists as far as we're concerned.
Yes. Well, I think if the African Union was a real union, we'll not have all these problems. You know, who are the members of the African Union? I must tell you this. I mean, it's a fact. When the 50th anniversary of the Organization of African Unity, I went to the attend the 50th anniversary of Unity, and we have the Africa Unity for Renaissance series of conferences. I must really thank the DSI, the Department of Science and Innovation. They are my boss also, the National Research Foundation, and all of them. They support us. They give me this chair called the SARCHI chair, the South Africa Research Chair. And it's a very good chair because it makes me support a lot of students in South Africa. And I really am happy I'm here because of this good support that I give to the students. It makes me happy. No, I'm just telling you, we have the Africa Unity for Renaissance. We developed a declaration, and I wanted to go and give them about how we should unite Africa, fast-track the unity of Africa. When I was in the meeting, when people were speaking, a lot of them were sleeping. No, sincerely. The only one I sincerely liked was in the evening, in the dinner time, Museveni. He is the only one who spoke without reading anything. He just spoke, and it was nice what he said. The others were reading, and I'm pretty sure it's somebody who writes for them, and they read it.
And they forget what they read afterwards.
Yes, and number two, even the way they read it, sometimes you don't know whether they really read it properly. Even that. I think we have a serious leadership crisis. Honestly. Governance crisis. All right? Institution building crisis. System crisis. We need real African unity. We should fast-track it. America has the whole world there. All the people of the world are there. They have created 50 states. We in Africa, I mean, other people may come, but we're Africans, the majority of us. Why don't we unite? What's the problem? Why not be 54 states? All right. And I suggest that on the when we did the African unity, there was a great victory. It is called the Adwa victory. It was called the defeat of Europe. The Europeans say that this victory colonized Africa, colonized us. They even say that we cannot now do everything we did for in Canada, Australia, and America in Africa, because now they know that if we're defeated in Adwa, they will see that we'll be defeated also when we come to South Africa or anywhere. So we should not. That's what they said. That's what the Europeans, they wrote it like that. So I say to them, because of the defeat, we should have even one flag. That flag should be the flag that we waved when we defeated them in Adwa. And we should really, we have our own everything. What don't Africa have? I'm sincerely telling you, the knowledge, the spiritual heritage, the Ubuntu, everything we have. But we don't use it. We don't practice it. We don't work with each other. We don't trust each other. We still have the mindset, the SIM card, the software and hardware that inferiorizes us, as if they are this, and superiorizes all these enemies of that against Africa that all they committed against us. So I think the Africa Union needs to be a real union, a genuine union. Then when issues like this happen, it should be the one that could have been acting now, sincerely. They should have been the ones that sincerely should have said, it can't happen like this, and immediately act and solve the problem. They could have handled it. And they should have the mechanism to handle it, including everything. I mean, not only in Ethiopia, in the DRC Congo, the Central African Republic, we still have problems everywhere. Mm. We still have. Mm. And we shouldn't allow it to continue to have. And why do we have it? Even the former colonial powers haven't left us. In the French part, 14 African countries are still, most of their money is still in French banks. And when they want the money back, they pay interest to France. Their own money, they pay interest to their own money. Can you imagine? Yeah, to France, to French banks. Prof, I can't believe this.
Thank you, sir. We have to end it here. I wish we had more time. But thank you so much, as always. Much appreciated, Prof.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.